This is Sunday, April 24th, 1988, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
So then, good morning, my friends. I would like to begin with a statement that is not my own, but is one that came into Mary Margaret's life that I think is relevant for the beginning of what we might share today. Depression is a low-grade spiritual experience. And I want to talk about it this way because it best illustrates exactly what we have been trying to communicate to humankind now for many, many, many months, and in some cases, many years. Let's repeat it again. Depression is a low-grade spiritual experience. Now, in order to really understand what that means deeply at its root, you have to go back again to remembering who you really are. And if you are going to contend that you are a linear person moving through time-space with some kind of chaotic pattern that you hope is going to end you at a place later on full of life and happiness, then this is not going to work. Because any kind of idea of a linear motion removes you from the truth of this statement. The reason that depression is a low-grade spiritual experience is because you are a spherical being, a spherical state of consciousness that has as its basic component an ability to become very, very porous throughout your whole being and to allow information to flood through, inspiration, guidance, counseling, humor, whatever, to flow through you and to permeate that part of the sphere that you have considered to be your separated self. When you are in a state of depression, my friends, what is happening deeply within is something has stopped motion. Something has become so fixed, so encrusted, so stuck that you cannot move past it, that you cannot get to the place that says, what are my choices around this? When depression is present, when you see no way out, when you ask someone who is depressed what they experience, oftentimes they will say, I feel as if I am in a hole. I feel as if I am in a well. I feel as if I am in a dark place, and I have no way to get out. You see, this is the kind of sense that one has. Well, please understand, you know full well that all we ever talk about when it is you and I talking is you are energy in motion. To the extent to which your energy is moving gives you a sense of life, of power, of having some kind of say in your life. A depressed person feels that they have somehow, through some fault of their own, no doubt, or through God's punishment, if that happens to be their particular point of view, that they are somehow unable to move out of a position into a place that has choices. If you feel that you are choiceless, you will be depressed. This is why many of you are shying away from the concept of surrendering to God's will. Did you hear that? Many of you are hesitating tremendously to surrender to God's will. And it is because you have an idea in your mind placed there over the centuries that your will and God's will are not the same. In fact, whatever you want to do is no doubt wrong, and whatever God wants to do is no doubt right. And if you happen to stumble on something that you've done right, it's only because God helps you. You see, the way that you have understood the words of thyself, you can do nothing, is you usually translate that to mean that God is very much a participant in all of the wonderful things of your life. But when you are doing those things that are not so wonderful, are you really aware that there is some energy called God's self that is also participating? You see, you can't have it both ways, my friends. It's either that there is God presence and that you can count on it every moment of your life, no matter what you are doing, or there isn't. We go back to either believing in the words of Jesus who says, by yourself, you're not going to do anything. But in your mind you say, oh, but that only means my glorious things. But I know that God would certainly not participate in all of my lacking in glory things. And this is just simply not true. So, the idea here is, you know what it is that keeps energy from moving. It is that wonderful word called guilt. We've talked about it until I'm sure you're all very familiar with it. But it is guilt that holds down the motion of the psyche. It is guilt and anxiety of moving in a false way. You are in a state of fear that if you move to the right or to the left, that will be somehow in error. So you choose to stay in almost, a depression can almost be, I don't even know what analytical word to use, but it's almost catatonic. It's as if you are unwilling to risk right or left. You can't go forward because you've been told directly from your guilt place within your being that to continue in the same road is somehow dangerous. And so the result is you sit down in the middle of your life and you wait. And of course, what you wait for is for somebody to come along and say, I know the answer. Do this. Or to someone to come in and say, I love you. I will help you do this. Or some of you are just waiting to die in hopes that that will somehow take care of it. But you see, none of that is going to work if really what your aim is to be in a state of continuous connection. We always come back to the main focus, which is connection is where the joy of life comes from. If you are not connected, you are not joyful. I do not care how good you are. You can be the most wondrous goody-goody. You may do it all right. You may do it just like the book. But there will be no sense of delight and participation and well-being if you are not connected. So the connection is the key. Depression is the hallmark that some energy that you do not approve of is getting ready to burst into your psyche and you are afraid. Please hear this again. Depression means that there is some energy that you are afraid of that wants very much to push up through the limitations that you have put on it to allow you to experience something. And the fear is very strong. Depression means I feel it coming up, I feel it coming up, and I'm pushing it down, and I'm pushing it down. Now, the solution is very simple if you'll just simply make a few changes in your life. Please use the logic of your conscious mind. One of the dilemmas of being alive at this particular time is that for the most part, you have cut yourself off from the spontaneous natural powers of the natural world that have a tremendous, healthy way of filling you up and making you feel differently. If you are in a state of depression and you get yourself up and out of your chair and down the road and on to some kind of physical activity, no matter what it is, you will come back in a renewed state of awareness. You will not come back in the same position. If you are having depressing dreams, instead of sleeping more and more, have something that gets you up and gets you going at day and night. You have got to begin to move your energy. You have been taught, because you are so intellectual, that where you move the energy is in your mind. My friends, your mind knows all the answers. Your mind has been told again and again and again that there are good things. When you're feeling depressed, what are you supposed to think? Oh, I love myself. Does that help? You know, there you are in this depressed state, and you can almost not get up, you know, to make it across the room, and you're sitting there mumbling this kind of a mantra, I love myself, I love myself. And all of a sudden, you feel the falsity. Some of you come and you say, I feel the falsity of some of these things, because I do not feel that they enliven me, and what I want is life. I want to feel that life. And what I say to you again is the mind already has repeated the mantras until you can all quote them in unison. And that is not what makes a difference. Now, I will be honest with you. If you can get yourself so you will begin seated in your chair to begin to chant anything, whether it be the name of God, whether it be the word love, something, if you will begin not to mumble, but to begin to chant, do you understand? To begin to get the fullness of it. You know, these people have been chanting for centuries. And I know it's very sophisticated these days to say, oh, that is not important. It's not important. Well, let me explain why they've been chanting, lo, these many centuries. countries, because everyone knows that even if you're in a seated position, you have the ability to get the energy running in a wonderfully explosive manner if you will just address it. And that begins the chanting. Many sophisticated intellectuals go to different places, for example, Zendos, and become upset because there's chanting. Because they say, oh, that's ritual. My friends, call it whatever you want. It is also a way to liberate you. It is a way to get your energy in motion. You are very mental. And that is one of the dilemmas. There's nothing wrong with being mental. Nothing. But it has to be in the balance of something other. So please, even if you're only able to sit in your chair or lie in your bed, no one is removed from the ability to move their energy. If you happen to have a physical body that doesn't walk, and you're just laying in bed, you still have the capacity to move the energy in you so that you will begin to feel life. You know, it would be very helpful if some of you who work with the elderly could begin understanding these methods so that perhaps you could begin to help them so that they don't have to sit endlessly in their chairs forever or lay in their beds, that they know that there are ways right there in the midst of their physical incapacity that will not necessarily stop them from feeling the life moving through them. They do not have to be drugged in order to have many things happen. You see, the model of how to get well, of how to get balanced, has fallen way over to the other side. And just as you have counted in the past on mental ideas to make things move for you, so has the medical profession used the medical model to try to keep their energy in a certain state so that they're quiet and calm. My friends, that is exactly what they do not need. And if you are not well, I would beg you, please, if you are in a state of depression, the thing that does not help is to begin to take something that tranquils you. Because it isn't that you want to be tranquil. What you want to be, I mean, do what you want. I'm by no means saying, here we go, I'm no means saying you should not take whatever pills your medical profession suggests. That is not my point. My point is that what you want is not to slow things down, but to get things moving. And you say, but I already feel erratic. And it's because the energy isn't moving. It's jolting you. It's pushing against you with an unclear sound. And if you can begin just the simple things of beginning to chant, beginning to voice, beginning to, if this is the best you can do, begin to yell. It doesn't matter. What you're talking about is getting the energy in a motion that moves outside of the physical context. It moves it through your mind, it moves it through your body. You have intellectualized yourselves into depressions. There was a time when you were going to and fro, you know, from the meditation center back to your home, back to your fields, back to your farms, back to your whatever, and there was a lot of energy in your life, and they were in motion. And you didn't have these wonderful vehicles that would transport you hither and yon. You had to make sure you got there on your own. Well, those are, I'm not saying we go back, but I'm saying be aware of the cutoff place. And the cutoff of the vitality comes because there is no conscious knowing that the physical body itself is where depression is felt. Depression is felt in the body. You feel as if you are going down into a hole. You feel that somebody has pulled the top in over you, and you are in the dark, and you are immobile. And that's precisely the way the psyche feels. It's immobile. Nothing is moving. So if you can begin by the simple knowing that by nothing more than to begin to chant, to begin to sound, to begin to feel the sound moving towards you. Now, I realize that some of you live in homes... apartments, that would be rather strange, you know, all this reverberation going through. Well, make do. Turn up your wonderful $2,000 stereo just a little louder than you and just let it happen. Or your television, you know, it really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if the neighbors care as long as you're feeling better. You know, there comes a place where you have to take a stand for your own sanity. Now, I'm speaking literally about the physical and the wonderful physicality of your being. You see, when religion cuts you off from the physical, you know, when you stopped here, and, you know, I think it's interesting, all of you men, poor things, have to wear these neckties, you know, and it's just, and then now it's, the women are starting to do it. I think you should think about what that represents, because it does cut you off, doesn't it? So there's a little bit of difference going here. So if you could just remember, do what you want, but it is an interesting symbol, but if you can just remember that it is the body that registers the feeling. The mind doesn't go, I'm depressed, I'm depressed, I'm depressed. It is the body that begins to close down because what's happening is on, if I could put it just very plainly, on overload. You are overloaded. One of the reasons they say a day's work for a day's pay in Zen is not because they think you have to work a certain number of hours, but because they know that if you just sit around, eventually you're going to get stuck. So those of you who say, well, I don't really need to work, I can just do this and this, think about it. It doesn't matter so much about the financial remuneration. The body needs to be in motion. I mention this now because your spring is coming and the summer is opening for some possibilities. The reason that we have these workshops out there in the middle of all this land and on these rivers is to get life in motion. How better than on a river? How better through a certain amount of fear? You know, fear is motion. Make no mistake. In fact, I want to speak specifically about it because many of you are doing all you can to keep fear out of your life. And for many of you, fear is the one honest emotion that really gets you going. It really gets you up and gets you going. And I say to you, your brother, fear, is a very helpful partner in this ritual of awakening to who you already are. When fear is present, don't run, don't try to get away, don't try to change things. Just be aware the brother of fear is here, and what are my choices? Thank you, because you see the fear begins tingling. You know, when you're in a state of fear, you are very aware that you are in a state of fear. But when you're in a state of lust, for example, many of you don't even notice. You don't even notice. But fear is the brother, because fear is so strong that it pushes down all of the barriers and enters and says, here I am, here I am. What shall we do? What shall we do with this? And at that moment, you will begin to participate in your whole life, in the pattern of the whole situation, and begin to pull that fear closer. Ask yourself, all right, enliven me. If you are energy, if you are in motion, then you have a way of letting me know. We go back to the beginning. Depression is a low-grade spiritual experience. Fear is a higher-grade spiritual experience. Much higher. Because you have as a basic component in fear the energy that ignites, that excites, and makes things begin to happen. Now, we go back to the basic way to get yourself in touch, which is simply, again and yet again, we go back, we say, we try. There are, within the wholeness of you, many, many voices. Now, historically, when I say that, fear takes place in your mind. Because anyone who hears voices, of course, we all know, is either a saint or crazy. You see, all of the saints heard voices, and that was all right. But you know, if you start hearing voices, that's not all right. Because you see, that means something has gone wrong. But from the very beginning of spiritual excitement and hearing in the human race, voices have come, either in dreams or in visions or in everyday life, or just as you're walking along, you will hear something. So, the first thing that I ask you to do is to get in touch with your hearing. And I do not mean the hearing that hears the dog barking next door and tries to get away from it. There is a way to hear, and I would like to go into it right now if we could, because I think it will be helpful for those of you who'd like to begin to deepen your way of knowing how to release this energy. The number one rule is this: you know with a part of your being that is absolutely omniscient exactly what will be maximum for you to do. It is not a mystery, which is why I say, please don't take a poll on the block. You will get 16 different answers for 16 different questions. You are the way to your truth and to your light. And it would be a kind of a hellish kind of a God who would tell you that and said, but there's no way there. You'll just have to mumble through it. No, you don't have to mumble through it, but you have to begin to hone up, to tune up the equipment. And the physical body happens to be the equipment. You have been trained to ignore the physical. And I have one of the main delights of my sharing with you is to ask you to reconsider, to ask you please to deeply reconsider that this is not, you know, even Francis at the end, remember he always called the body brother ass. Do you remember this? And at the end he said, I'm sorry. Because he knew and experienced in his physical body the bliss that he was looking for. It wasn't out there. It wasn't in the seraphim that came to him. It was in himself. It was in, if you will, brother ass. And one of his regrets was that those many years, he had mistreated the physical to such an extent. Now, I ask you to reconsider your own alignment with your physical. I do not care what your age. I feel that life and vitality can be rejuvenated at any moment of this process if you begin to be conscious of what it is you're being asked to do. The first thing is to begin to hear. My friends, I will tell you, you will find this interesting. In a room of 12 people, and with all things going on and everyone talking, and you went back to those 12 people, nobody would have heard the same thing. You know that funny little story about children in the telephone games? You start with Johnny has three ears and you end up with any kind of wonderful things at the end. But the whole idea is basically that you don't hear with open consciousness. You hear in a closed way. You select what you hear. For example, some of you are so afraid of certain tone qualities in the voice that when that quality comes through, you will not listen. For example, if you have been yelled at by one of your parents or someone in your life, and someone is speaking in a loud way in order to do whatever that needs to be done, your hearing mechanism will turn off. You will become upset. You will become anxious. You will probably, if you can, get up and leave. Because something has begun within you that it triggers off a memory. And so hearing is selective. My friends, you are constantly deciding what you're going to hear. Constantly. Constantly. Many of you cannot hear praise for yourself. Someone says something beautiful and you say, I beg your pardon? You didn't hear it. And so they repeat it. Again, it doesn't get through. Most of you have been listening so that you can protect yourself. You have been listening in a way that will keep you as safe in the physical world as you can possibly be. And in so doing, you cut out some of the registers. You simply don't hear them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those of you that live in a city, because of the noise and the bombardment, cut it out so that you don't hear it. You know, you can live next to a train going up and down, and very soon you will not hear it. You simply will not hear it. And what happens is you cut out the register. The inner voice says, too abrasive, we'll cut out the register. We'll cut it out. Now, are you then suggesting, you're asking, that I open up my hearing and then what's going to happen? My eardrums, am I being a constant rock concert? What is going to be going on here in my physical apparatus? And you have to learn, my friends, I do ask you to pay attention. Some of you are so close to really understanding this. If you will just begin to hear with openness, and you begin by simply seating yourself somewhere, wherever it may be, preferably a place that has noises that you don't particularly care about, and to just give the directive to yourself, relax, open, and hear. Relax, open, and hear. By yourself, you do nothing. You did not consciously cut off those frequencies. You did not one day sit down and say, all right, the noise outside is too much. I'm cutting down that frequency, and I want everybody to know it, and I'm registering it in my book. It was done by a process far beyond your conscious mind. And to awaken it is something done far beyond your conscious mind. But you are closing out the you've been told about the sound of the spheres, and you say, oh, that's nice, and someday when I'm dying, I'll hear. No. The sound of the spheres is a way of hearing in the present. When you allow yourself to open and begin to hear, then all of those abundant registers that you've cut out because of not wanting to hear will come gradually. I promise you, they are not going to all explode into your cranium like some train. They're going to come sweetly and gently and quietly. If you want to hear the voice of God, I'll be literal, then you've got to start listening. And you don't listen with your toe. You listen with your ears. You listen with the head. You listen with the heart. When you begin to open, you will find that not only are you relaxing in your cranium, where all the hearing apparatus seems to be located, but you also will find yourself relaxing in the heart center, in the solar plexus. Because you see, the solar plexus job is to do as well. You know, the solar plexus does a tremendous job for you. It keeps away the energy that you don't want to feel. It keeps away all those emotions. Have you ever asked yourself, how does a doctor who has to go through day after day of incredible seeing of suffering, how do they maintain? How do they preserve that indifference at a great cost? How? It's the same way you do it. Just very gently, over the years, you have created a bound, a sound barrier. A barrier that says, past this, I will not hear. Past this, I will not feel. And so now when it's time to feel God, which is life in motion, and it's the very same apparatus that's necessary, it's closed down. And most of the yoga, all of the exercises, all of those endless asanas that they do for one reason only, to open up a closed body, a body that has been closed down for whatever reason. And now the asana says, let's open it up. This is a safe room. We can do it here, can't we? You know, we have candles and we have music and all's well. We can do it here. And all that it is to open up the closing of the cellular content that has been holding on and holding in because it does not want to be out and in a state of exposed pain. You have chosen to decrease your physical vibration so that you will not have to feel certain kinds of pain. The difficulty is that the God feeling is also decreased to the same intensity. Your responsibility, if you want to begin to feel life, to feel God in motion, is to begin to ask your own particular physical body, what do you need? What do you need? What would feel good? What would really feel good? And then, as you hear it, take the action that's suggested. Some of you are about to go into a state of retirement from your jobs, at least one person. And I would ask that when that comes about, when you're moving from transition from one kind of a life to another, that you understand that part of the things that is available to you now is that you get to say to this physical body, this is what we want to do. Because those of you that have jobs and must go, it is the job that sets the routine of your life. Now, when you're emancipated from that or choose to leave in whatever way, there is now a new directive. So instead of allowing old habit patterns to engulf you, make the statement, I'm ready to drop and open and expand. I'm ready to feel more life. You don't have to all quit your jobs. You don't have to. I know some of you would love for me to say, oh, quit your job. Oh, some people come and they say, oh, please, please tell me to quit my job. Please. If you want to quit your job, quit your job. That's your business. But what is really directly God business, is to acknowledge that the more that the physical participates and is asked as a brother or a sister to participate in this journey, the faster you're going to get there. The mental patterns are not taking you. If you can begin some kind of a physical, wonderful ritual, whatever it might be, with the express purpose of feeling life, of feeling relaxation and power and wonder, that has to do with you, under your guidance, you will begin to allow hearing and feeling to take place. Now let's go back to the hearing. I said clearly, you have set up the cutoff for the vibrational sound. And by the same way, you simply remove that directive by stating that you are ready to hear. And as you state it, begin to feel sound. My friends, there are so many things out there, all of the strands of life that are thundering through your psyche. And you feel very few of them because you're paying attention to your thoughts. You're paying attention to your mind. Meditation, here we go again, is simply a way of saying, let's pay attention to something else. For some of you, seated meditation is a farce. It does not work. Then how about walk? Then how about run? Then how about something? different. I'm almost begging you here because I see that so many of you are ready, in my terminology, to pop, which means to pop into a whole new level of understanding. But you're stuck because you haven't addressed the physical. Because the body, for those of you who have been physically abused in any way, I realize that this is the ultimate challenge. It is the ultimate challenge. Much of the work that is going on now in the world of therapy and psychotherapy and so on has come to these places needing to remove these blocks. Now, why? Why? Because you're ready to feel life thundering through you, and in order to do that, you have to have enough courage to open in the face of incredible fear. And I honor that. And if it takes being in the presence of someone you trust to do it, do it. It is not a funny little ancillary movement that is moving through the face of the West, which is to get in and get rid of the blocks. Do you understand why they come together at this time? The energy is beginning to thunder across this planet. And those blocks that exist within you, out of the fear of the past, are holding back not the energy, but you're delighting in it. Your ability. You see, if I said to you, energy is delightful and playful, there's very few of you that would agree with me. You would say, oh, I hope that be true. But you don't believe it, because the energy that you have felt as a child growing up oftentimes has been harsh, has been abrasive, has been in some way making you feel afraid. And now here comes this big windbag. That's this. And this windbag says, open up, feel life, feel life. You say, oh, that's easy for you to say. You know, I don't see anybody around there for you. There's a lot you've got to say. What do I do about all this fear that fills me every time? Many of you begin to meditate and you begin to fall into fear and you come and you say, what? What? And it is that layer of fear that exists that you have created through your varying experiences of life that have created it's as strong a barrier as anything I can tell you. But by finding your way to unblock those areas will free your life. Now, do you all have to go to therapists? Please understand. No. Those of you that find that way, absolutely go and do. It's wonderful. Those of you that do not have the money or do not have the interest, there are other ways. You know, you can begin to move your physical body in with the openness and the knowing that you can begin to trust your own body process. My prayer is that you will begin to trust your own body process. As you have set your life up, let's just talk about the sexual world. Are you really told as a very young child, yes, you can totally trust your sexual process, dear? I mean, have you ever heard a parent say this to a child? Rare, rare. Oh, that's all right, dear. That's just fine. Oh, and that's fine, and that's fine, and that's fine, and that's fine. No, they don't say this. There is fear. And that all has to do with all the things we've spoken about, which is not your sexual nature is cut off, because many of you are sexually active, but sensually you are not, meaning that the sensual sense of your being, the seeing, the touching, the tasting, the feeling, the knowing, the life moving through is not present. And that is the job. And I realize that I speak, you know, for those of you who care about the renunciate religions, I know that this is another statement. I ask you to just listen quietly and then don't bother to come again. Because not that that is not a path, but that for most of you in this room, and not all of you, of course, you know I have to have a little fun here. For most of you in this room, the question is not to stop your energy down, but to get your energy in motion. Is that not true? It is the need to, you don't say, oh, I'm feeling too much life, God, please stop it. Oh, stop it, stop it, stop it. You don't go to a teacher and say, oh, I'm feeling so full of wonder, you've got to do something to help me. It is the knowing deeply within you that there is an incredible wonder and power of life. Life. Moving through you precisely as you are. With not one thing changed. With not one karmic situation at all altered. Without one so-called sin, whatever that might be, having to be taken care of. Nothing. There is nothing you need to do. There is nothing you need to do to begin to feel God bursting through you. It is a physical experience. God realization is a physical experience. It happens in the physical. And if you keep ignoring the energy field and the motion of the physical, you are going to miss. You're going to miss. One of the things that you hear about those people who go and partly die and then return is that the energy field changes. They feel alive. They feel wondrously abundant and full. And then they say, and this is the one difficulty with these stories, oh, I see, that means that I can't feel that until I'm dead. And if that's the way you want to play it that way. But that is not how the bliss finders have played it. And there are lots of bliss finders in this world. There have been many, many, many bliss finders. They don't talk about it because they're, why, you know? All's well, what is there to say? What is there to do? And they just sit around, do what they do, and feel it. Now, one of the reasons for the drug revolution, please, mothers, fathers, hear me. One of the reasons for the drugs is that those children are able to feel something that they cannot feel through the guilt and the limitations that their life has imposed upon them. I am not advocating drugs. I'm simply saying to give you a piece of information so that you will perhaps not be so lacking. You know, there's a lot of gap between what's happening now and some of you who were doing some activities 40 years ago. I'm asking you for your understanding. I am not saying, yes, go and approve. I'm simply trying to give you a piece of information. And the information is that they feel differently. They feel. They begin to feel parts of their psyche that they have never felt before. There's a certain kind of feeling tone. Now, the drugs will not get you to God, and you all know that. We don't have to go through that again. What you have to understand is the commitment for feeling life is your job. It's your obligation. It is your incredibly... If you ask for it, you know, people come and they say, what is my function? And I say, to enjoy life. And they get very angry. They don't like it. To enjoy life is your job. To walk every moment in delight of life is your job. And why? All right, let us assume that it is some divine source of wisdom and wonder that said, go on out, take a birth, take a body, live a life. Let's go. We're going together. Let's go. And you begin to say, I don't know what to do. This doesn't feel good. I'm afraid. I'm frightened. And that part of you that is the divine, which is what we call the we part of you, begins to move and say, it's all right. I'm here. I'm here. Just call on me. I'm here. Just yell for me. Just begin to remember that I'm here. Just remember we're in this together. Of yourself, you can do nothing. Do you think you can get yourself born by yourself? I mean, even on the human plane, you know that's not possible. But you see, in the mind comes a confusion that somehow you've gotten yourself born by yourself and you've got to make it through by yourself and you'll get there. Well, there's no magic in that. There's no magic. The magic comes by just beginning to trust. Look, I don't know how I got here, but obviously something's awash. Something's necessary. There's we here. All of the great ones say that it's a teamwork. There's you and it. Wondrously, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Statement. Truth. Now, here, in this moment, exactly as you are, you and the Father are one. No separation. That means what you do, the Father does. That means what you think, the Father thinks. That means what you taste and feel and move and experience, the Father does. If you could just begin to be bold enough to dare to trust that, then you will begin to ask yourself to remember. Remember that we're in this together. And the more that you remember that, the more that you call that back moment after moment after moment, as you begin to hear with the knowing that there is we hearing, you will begin to open up your awareness. Now let's talk again about the hearing. The God awareness that thunders through your being can begin to be heard when there is no blockage at all. Those of you that are hard of hearing, I am not talking about physical ears. I'm talking about inner ears. There is an inner hearing that has nothing to do with the physical. In fact, many people who are hard of hearing can hear those higher registers in some very special way. In fact, some people choose to have hard of hearing ears so they can hear those frequencies. You see, it goes always. As people start to get older and they start saying, you know, I have heard all this forever. I'm really tired of hearing all this. I've heard it and heard it and heard it, and there's nothing new under the sun. I think I'd like to hear something else. And all of a sudden, the inner being says, oh, you want to hear something else? Well, if you have no other technique, the inner being will say, all right, well, we'll just calm down where we can hear from the outside. After all, we've heard it all. Just calm it down. And then an inner hearing begins to happen. Now, if you begin to get distraught and despair and flail around and stop trying to hear, then you won't hear it. But if you'll just settle in, this is it, this is what's happening, and begin to hear from another part of you those rarefied strands, almost like music, begin to come. You do not have to go deaf to hear God. But some of you have made the choice to limit your hearing. All right. We've said this before. All sounds are mantra. All right? Right out of Buddhism. All sounds are mantra. And the next one, of course, all beings are Buddha. But let's just stay with the first one. All sounds are mantra. My friends, those of you that live next door to a motorcycle shop probably have a little trouble believing that. And I acknowledge that there are certain registers that have been created on the physical plane that are more difficult to translate into mantra. I do acknowledge that. But in the midst of anything, let's go back in memory to your past situations, for many of you, so I feel this is valid. When you're seated on a mountain or on a hill somewhere and you hear a bell, why do you suppose all these centuries, the bells? Why the bells? Well, they weren't just to call people. They were to open people. And they sound the bell, and your ear follows the sound of the bell and takes you out to a rarefied place that is not accessible consciously. So all over these wonderful monasteries and nunneries and so on, all over the world, in any religion, they try to have something that makes a sound. And one of the earliest contrivances that you ever, as a race, came upon was something to make a sound. Because you wanted to be carried on the wave of the sound out. Now, drums. Almost every basic culture drums. Why? Because the sound of the drum, when it becomes something you immerse yourself in, it has the capacity to carry you. You have around you endless aids to move your ears into an expanded awareness. Great music, whatever music is great for you, will carry you on the sound of it out to another realm. Music is a path to God, make no mistake, when used to carry you and move you. All sounds are mantra. If you can begin the way home, which is back inside, allowing yourself to once again hear, to once again deeply hear what you've cut yourself off from, you will begin to live in a new way. You will begin to feel fuller, more alive, more connected. Those of you who are isolated, either through illness or whatever it might be, all you have to do, please, is to begin to be willing to hear. And just that willingness allows the hearing to start moving, and you will start moving, and as you move out, you will find out, you know, all these windbags keep saying, there are no limits, this is limitless universe, and you all say, it's limitless. Really? I mean, do you really believe that it is limitless? Do you really? If you did, how glorious a moment. But use your ears and the hearing within to test this truth. If there are no limits, then you should be able to begin to move in some kind of a limitless way into all of that amazing energy. The reason that I'm not starting with the heart, you notice that I'm not starting with the heart, is because the heart has a lot more fear in it than your hearing does. The hearing, you can get through the obstacles of your hearing much faster. Do you understand? It's just much faster because it has a different feeling tone to it. But when we begin to work with the heart, which is the purpose of the workshops this summer, to begin to get into the heart and to open that so that it is an open state, then we have to go through some dark sides because that's where the pain lies. The pain is not in the mind, in the hearing. It's in the heart. So find someone and go and release. Find a way. Find a way. But begin by hearing. Please, look, this is a mental culture. Again, no blame. But mental cultures have as their basis the male-female, the patriarchal idea. And that's all right. It's all right, but you need to hear from another part of your being. That other part of your being is so alive and so willing and ready to begin to speak to you. We go back to where we started. You may hear voices. I mean that literally. You may hear voices, and don't get afraid. Just remember you have equal time. I mean it. If an energy field comes and starts to say something to you, and you have questions, you go back and say, wait a minute, I have something to say about that. And then back and forth and back and forth. Don't fall headlong and just let it play with you. A rapport is what you're asking for. Most of you will not bother with this, but there are a few of you who will. And so I ask you to hear it again. Within the wholeness of your psyche, there are messages that will help your wholeness. And it is your delight to sit and to be willing to hear them. And you, by your own choice, call them up. Many of you write in journals, but the problem is you just write your stream of consciousness. And in truth, most of you already know your stream of consciousness because you're thinking it. The kind of work that I'm asking for comes from another level of the being. It comes from a place that is haphazard, and as you write it on the page, you don't want anybody to see it because it looks like some nincompoop has been writing, or a 2-year-old. It's so fast because it's going so fast. It's almost as if the apparatus can't keep up with the energy. And almost always, I said this before, almost always it's going to say something that you don't like, or that surprises you, or that shocks you, or that takes you aback. If it's just everything you know, then it's only another part of your mind. But there are parts of you longing, and they will begin if you'll start to listen. And even if you don't record it, even if you are not one of those who feels committed to writing down whatever comes through, that's your own business. But if you will just learn to listen, you will begin to hear those other spheres of your psyche that are waiting to guide you. You are whole. If you and your father are one, you and your wholeness are one as well. Please, please hear that. You are whole. The psyche pushes for wholeness every moment. If I might say, some of you get trapped and you're going along very well. I feel this is quite frankly what's happening to some of the ministers in the born-again movement. You know, when you push one part of your psyche down, it will embarrass you. You know, and pay attention. Embarrass you too. You find yourself at a party and who said that? You said that. You know, something's going on. Or you find yourself thinking things or having dreams that are totally unlike your normal dream. Pay attention. If you have a dream that shocks you, be aware there's part of your psyche that says, how long are you going to sit around on this one? How long are you going to sit on this? Let's go. Let's get moving. And then it comes in some, and they're always shockers. They come to you and you go, I can't believe I had that dream. And then, of course, you don't tell a soul you had that dream. A lot of your sexual dreams, my friends, a lot of your sexual dreams are simply not some kind of expose. What they are is a part of your being that longs to explode so it can begin to get clarified. Don't be afraid. If you are not in the midst of sexual experience, it doesn't matter. The sexual part of you can experience and train you in many, many wise ways. Just begin to address it. Just ask it, what's going on? What do you have to say? What are you doing here? You know, these are your dreams. You have a right to say, what are you doing here? That was an astonishing dream we had. What are we doing? What are we about? Where are we going? You don't have to have, I'm asking you to take your wholeness seriously. And a part of your wholeness is your dream world. And if you exclude your dream world, do it at your peril. If you exclude your dream world, at least to some level of even humorous interaction, you do it at your peril. Because it is one of the main ways that the unheard, unseen part of you has to come up. My friends, in closing, just remember. You have a listener within you. One of the archetypes is a listener. It's a listener. It has the ability to listen fully, without fear, with boldness. And if you will just begin to develop that aspect by just practicing listening moment after moment, you will run right into that archetype. You will run right into that guide. You will run right into that master, whatever you want to call it. You will run right into it. And you've got to listen. You will listen deeply in your being just by being willing to shut up and begin. Look, the divine has spoken to mankind the entire history of your planet. The entire history. Please don't cut yourself off from that incredible knowing. But you've got to redevelop the skill. You've got to learn how to hear again. In the old days, I could take you all to a wonderful mountain. We could sit there 2 months, 3 months. We'd all learn how to hear again. You have to create your own mountain. If it's your apartment, so be it. Doesn't matter. The willingness to begin to hear. Because in hearing, you will hear. And you will hear all the things that you have longed to hear. That you absolutely loved. Have never, ever been anything but loved. That in some way that you can't consciously understand, you are absolutely safe. Absolutely safe. And third, no matter what your life is doing, it is absolutely magnificent, absolutely appropriate, absolutely God-filled. You're not looking for a voice outside to tell you that you're all right. You're looking for a voice inside, and it is there. I'm very grateful to you all for listening.